The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome to the Blackhawks Talk Podcast. I am Pat Boyle. On this episode, Charlie Romeliotis, Scott King, and Nick Gismondi, all of NBC Sports Chicago, join me to discuss the NHL's return to play plan that includes your Chicago Blackhawks. We'll break down that plan. We'll discuss how the top four seeds will play around Robin, what it's going to be like for the Blackhawks taking on an Edmonton Oilers team that, you know, may not love the fact that both teams are starting on equal footing. Plus, we'll discuss the two hub cities that are possibly being considered and that Chicago is somehow in the final 10 that are being narrowed down for those two hub cities. We'll also discuss some of the major issues that are still being discussed by the NHL. Are they going to go a bracket system? Are they going to reseed? And the first two rounds of the Stanley Cup playoffs, will they be a best of five or a best of seven? We'll lay out the timeline for training camp, and we'll get into a very complicated draft lottery plan. It's all coming up on the freshest installment of the Blackhawks Talk Podcast.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
All right, boys, here we go. We got a return to play plan in effect. It's all official. It's going to be 24 teams. Of course, the Blackhawks are included in that field of 24. It was really nice to see the NHL kind of lead the way of the four major leagues with a return to play plan. Your thoughts, Charlie?
Yeah, and I know it was pretty vague given the timeline of everything. They didn't say when they're going to be turning or where they're going to be for returning, but it did provide some sort of optimism for fans to kind of get excited about what the rest of this season will look like. So it was nice that we got this news. And you're right, Pat. We kind of beat all the major sports teams as far as what the structure is going to look like and the confidence that they are going to return at some point. So it was fun news from the NHL today.
I don't remember the last time we had like such a big formal announcement. Like this is, you know, it's still potential because you got to see everything fall into place. But from Gary Bettman and the NHL brass and suits, we haven't had anything like, this is our plan, this is what's happening, you know, and him, we'll get into the details. But with some of those things, he was like Good Will Hunting with a chalkboard. And I'm trying to figure it out here. Carry the one, what's going to happen? So it was great. It's good to see something finally taking shape because we've seen so many reports and so many things kind of rumored or suggested, and now it's really in motion.
And Gizmo, it gives not only the players a little something to circle on the calendar, even though we don't know specific dates yet, but it kind of gives some timeline together where these guys can ramp up now their workouts, and all of us can, and any of us that are connected with this sport, we can all kind of figure out, okay, we're going to be working in July here. You know, exactly where and how long? Well, that remains to be seen. But it was certainly good to kind of see this plan just get finalized and out there.
Yeah, listen, I like that Gary Bettman and the NHLPA and the NHL have been very vocal through all of this. They didn't really hide. And I know the announcement today wasn't necessarily a solid set. These are the dates like you guys have been saying. But I agree with you, buddy. I think that this is a moment of optimism for the sports world, for hockey fans, and just for everybody in general. Obviously what's going on right now is scary, and it's been scary for a little while, but what happened today for me was it was awesome because it's finally a little bit of potentially some return to normalcy. And I think that, you know, the commissioner said it during his speech that hockey's always sort of been at the forefront of helping out when these things happen. We saw it in Vegas a few years ago, and I was there firsthand for that. When I saw that team bring an entire community back after the tragic events that happened on October 1. And for me, it's exciting that there is a proactive movement by the players and the officials and the GMs and the owners and by the league itself to get things back in the direction and to at least put a target on a board and say, hey, listen, we're at least talking about getting back to where we want to be, and this is how we're going to do it so that when the moment does become right, this is our plan, this is how we're going to execute it. And there's a lot of questions that have been answered. Now all of a sudden it becomes a lot easier to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And this time it's not a train coming.
So let's break down how this return to play plan is actually going to work out. So the top 12 in each conference by points percentage as of the pause on March 12th, the Blackhawks are the 12th seed in the West. The top four seeds are St. Louis, Colorado, Vegas, and Dallas. Those four teams are going to play a round robin to determine the first round seedings in your traditional 16-team Stanley Cup playoff format. The 5 through 12 seeds will play one another, 5 versus 12. So it's the Oilers taking on the Blackhawks. Nashville's the 6th seed taking on the 11th seed Arizona. Van, the 7th seed, taking on the 10th seed Minnesota Wild. And Calgary and Winnipeg will square off in the 8-9 matchup. Scotty, let me start with you. Do you like how the NHLPA and NHL players and the NHL handled the qualifying round and the top seeds round robin?
I think it could have been maybe somehow. It just seems like it could have been more fair. We kind of talked about this on the last podcast for those top seeds. But, I mean, if you're a Blackhawks fan, it certainly seems – fair, or you're certainly really excited about it. It was just about getting some kind of format, some kind of way for hockey to resume. And I think that's the big picture, is we're going to see hockey. They laid out a way that it's going to happen. You know, we saw players voted against a best of three play-in before. So I'm sure, you know, even if they don't like these matchups and the way it's structured, a lot of guys are really happy that that's not happening against teams that not only shouldn't be there, but also have players like a Carey Price or a Corey Crawford or Patrick Kane that could steal a short series.
You know, Nick, when we look at this, you know, we talked a lot about it on the podcast when the 24 team format was being mentioned and how they'd handle 5 through 12. And we thought some emphasis would be placed on what happened in the, you know, 70 games in the regular season, and that the 5 and the 12 seed would not start out necessarily on equal footing. There might be a descending point total situation, or I don't know, Edmonton needs to win 2 of 5 versus the Hawks need to win 4 or 5, somehow balancing what we've seen in the previous 70 games of the regular season and what's going to go on from there. Like, you know, two cities looking at this probably very differently. Chicago, we're ecstatic, you know, and in Edmonton right now, they're probably like, really? This is the card we drew?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to play the Hawks in a best of five. I mean, you've got leadership in the room, you've got experience, and you've got some clutch guys. If you don't think for one second that a Patrick Kane isn't going to be able to get up and will himself almost on his own to doing amazing things in that series, you're mistaken. So I think that was a big part of why this took a little bit longer than maybe they thought it would to iron it out. I spoke to a couple of guys in the league that aren't on the Chicago Blackhawks, and a lot of the conversations that was going back and forth between the NHLPA and the NHL and a lot of the negotiation was wanting to find a way to make sure that they did this with integrity. This is an earn it league. This is not you get handed something because you participated. It's one of the hardest trophies in all of sports to win. So however they did this, they wanted there to be some modicum of that integrity stitched into the framework of it. And I think that the back and forth has got them to this. But, yeah, I could see the Edmonton Oilers being very worried to play the Chicago Blackhawks. I mean, look at how well the Chicago Blackhawks played the Edmonton Oilers this year already in the three games that they played. I think they lost one of them. So, yeah, I mean, I'm Chicago. I'm ecstatic about this. And I can see where some other cities would be like, okay, gosh, you know. But, yeah, I think it was done with integrity. And I think the format does represent the most fair way to do this given the circumstances.
Yeah, I think, Charlie, you know, there would have been complaints no matter what plan was placed in front of us. But my couple things that I found that, you know, a little surprised they weren't clarified on Tuesday was the fact that, you know, the NHL seems to want a bracket system. The players prefer reseeding after the qualifying round. And then, you know, you talk about the integrity and that nothing's handed, and this is the, you know, one of the toughest trophies to win. And we usually talk about those 16 wins. Well, we find out that they're not exactly sure if the first or second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs will be best of fives or best of sevens. We know for sure the conference final and the Stanley Cup final will be best of sevens. So still some, you know, ambiguity about how this is set up. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think the NHL and NHLPA is going to have more discussions over that and try to come to some sort of agreement. And I think it was always going to be a challenge to try to find a middle ground with the entire format in general because of the leagues and maybe the players obviously desire too. If you were a non-playoff team, why would I come back, ramp up, try to go to this 3 to 4 week formal training camp only to finish off a few games of the season? But they needed to find some sort of middle ground to offset the financial hit that the NHL is going to take, given the fact that these playoffs are not going to include fans. And obviously it's a salary cap world, but the NHL is a league where the revenues are split 50-50. And so if the owners aren't making money, the players are going to pay in escrow and have a higher percentage. So it was always going to be a challenge trying to find a middle ground. And I thought this was probably the fairest you can get as far as giving teams like the Blackhawks and the lower seeded teams a chance, putting them on an even playing field. Because if it was one of those previous formats that we saw last week where the players wanted a descending standings, like you mentioned, Pat, you know, a team like the Blackhawks are like, well, wait, we have to win five in a row just to give ourselves a chance. And then they're probably looking at it like a non-playoff team.
And when you talk about the money, some of the figures I heard earlier today from Emily Kaplan is that if play does not resume in the NHL, the league would lose $1 billion. If they return with the plan that we have seen presented to us and it goes according to plan, they can recoup $500 million of that. So, I mean, these are big dollars that, you know, the league is dealing with, a lot of jobs, as we all know. I mean, we all know people in our lives that have been affected by this already and are continually being affected by it. How about the hub cities, Scott? The NHL said they're going to play in two hub cities. There are 10 that are being considered right now. I was stunned that Chicago was on that list, and even Los Angeles for that matter, considering the amount of cases that the Chicago area has had. And basically, I think we'll hear from the commissioner in the next 3 weeks when they finalize the two hub cities. But just your thoughts on that at that part of the equation.
I was really surprised to hear Chicago was in the mix as well. I mean, you have to figure behind the scenes, they probably have a more condensed list of maybe four cities. I think that they're hopefully not, I mean, it'd be very convenient for us to travel, but I think I just heard recently Cook County has like the most ongoing COVID cases in the country. So out of any county. So it's at risk if you're a player. And I know it was addressed, I think on the conference call you were on, Charlie, that if a player was to get it, they said they would try to avoid shutting down the league and shutting down this playoff format. But you got to imagine if they play somewhere where these cases are still prevalent and God forbid somebody gets it, like there's going to be mass hysteria after all this waiting and meeting and all the calls to put this together. That'd be a real shame. So yeah, I'd like to think that there's a more condensed list and they're taking it really seriously. And they probably have some safer cities in mind on the short list, I would imagine.
Well, I would say I see your point, Kinger, but I would also say that they're basing it on where they have an abundance of testing as well. Like the NHL is talking about testing everybody that's involved with this return to play plan nightly and having the results by the next morning. You're talking about over $1 million just in testing alone. So, and I do think that if they're quarantining in a certain spot, obviously there's going to be some isolation and that you're not going to be able to get out and around much. But also, you know, they're going to look and see what the numbers do in the next month and a half here or whatnot before they actually get back to it. But I would also agree with you that I would imagine they maybe go to a more warmer coastal area, such as a Vegas in Arizona or a Los Angeles, as numbers come out and as science comes out and, you know, things are revealed about, you know, the virus. So I think that, you know, they're casting a wide net in terms of the options as to where they can go. Certainly it would be enticing to go to Chicago. There's a lot of rinks available there, right? That's something else you got to think of. Or where can all these teams hole up and practice at? You lose that a little bit with some of these other cities. Vegas is appealing because obviously teams can take a whole hotel to themselves and there's four NHL sheets, not including T-Mobile Arena, within 20 minutes of T-Mobile Arena and the strip where they'd be holed up. And there's an abundance of ice in Chicago where teams could basically take over a facility and use. So I think that goes into the thinking too a little bit.
Yeah, and also the cleaning. All of these facilities, it's not just the ice space. They all have to have the state-of-the-art equipment to, be sanitary and kill any viruses or whatever. And they all have to have four locker rooms so that you can have four teams that are separate from one another and that proper cleaning can take place between games. Just want to mention the other cities besides Chicago, Vegas, we already mentioned, Toronto, Columbus, Edmonton, Dallas, Los Angeles, Minnesota, Vancouver, and Pittsburgh are all on this list as well. And I know during the conference call, Scotty, part of the other issue is like, so if Vegas is chosen, the Western Conference will not be the hub for it'll be the Eastern Conference that goes to Vegas. They don't want the Golden Knights playing, even though we all know there's no home ice advantage, really. There's no fans. There's, none of the usual pomp and circumstance around a home versus away feel.
That's interesting, right? That's one of those details where it's like, yeah, you want to take away any possible advantage. The guys can go get their favorite bite to eat before a big game and be comfortable in the facility. But like you said, no fans. I mean, that's the real advantage there. So how much of an advantage is it? I don't know if it's necessary, but I like the way they're thinking. It's a huge thing. And we talked about in the last podcast, the memo they had originally sent for all this format was like well over 20 pages. And now we see this Gary Bettman on TV today, really going into detail on everything. And then the conference call, like they could not be being more careful in terms of how things are planned out. I think outside of the format, even just how to take advantages away from teams, any potential advantage. I do think everything's really thought out, and that's why it took me about four times to rewatch it and get everything down today.
And Charlie, if they do pick Canadian cities, there's things that need to be worked out with the government as far as, right now there's a 2-week quarantine period in Canada. So if you did pick that, obviously these teams would have to be in place in plenty of time to fulfill that obligation.
Yeah, I think it would be smart to maybe pick a Canadian location, but I also think there are some challenges. And we had talked about the challenge last week, players crossing the border. And Bill Daly obviously disputed that it would be a problem for the NHL. But there is a sense that some players are skeptical about wanting to go into a hub city in Canada. So it's going to be a challenge, whether it's in the Eastern Conference or Western Conference. But I do think logistically it would be nice to have a Canadian and a U.S. city as the two hubs, but I don't know feasibly if that's going to be the case.
Yeah, I've talked to a couple of guys in and around the league as well, not on the Blackhawks, and I would put good money on the fact that we won't see one of those hub cities in a Canadian market just because of the differences that are going on in the regulations and the rules that are in place in multiple places there. So I would think that you're going to see two U.S. cities as the hubs. I think that simplifies things exponentially. But I would also agree. I think you're going to see him in a city that maybe doesn't have necessarily the cases, but also has that increase in testing. But you also need, like Pat was saying, that balance of facilities and the ability to keep them clean and turn them over.
To give you guys some more timeline situation, we already discussed the phase two could start as early as next week, early part of June, where six players at a time can return to, in this case, Fifth Third Arena. They can take part in workouts, both on or off the ice, social distancing. They don't need to wear a mask at those periods of time. No more than six players allowed on the ice. No coaches allowed on the ice during this phase. And then we heard from Commissioner Bettman that training camp, which is in the phase three part of this, would start at the early part of July. And that would push phase four to returning to play till late July at the earliest, or more likely August. So, Charlie, you were on that conference call with Daly and Bettman. What does that mean for the start of the following season?
Yeah, I think that's why they're not necessarily trying to delay this season as much as possible, but I think there's no urgency to try to get next season done on a regular schedule of October, November. And Gary Bettman even said we could start the 2020-21 season as late as January and still get in an 82-game season because they want to have fans back in the stands. And if that kind of pushes back the schedule and we're obviously playing summer hockey again, you know, obviously that's going to be a challenge, but I think the NHL has no desire to try to scrap or shorten next season because they want to get fans back into attendance.
Yeah. And I think that's the paramount thinking as to what they're doing, Charlie. That's certainly the impression that I've gotten from a lot of the NHLPA reps and whatnot, is that they'll delay it as long as they can, and then they'll condense it, right? You're going to see a tighter schedule. You're going to see no all-star game. You're going to see no bye week. Breaks will be much shorter. You won't see those big gaps, but yeah, I would say that they're going to push it as long as they can because they would very much want to and will try to start next season 2020-2021 with full attendance.
All right, let's dive into the draft lottery plans, because as Scotty, this is where you and all of us were getting a little cross-eyed as Commissioner Bettman was trying to describe it. I'm going to try to boil it down here on the podcast. So the plans were announced for the draft lottery. There's going to be two phases: the seven teams that aren't playing in the qualifying round and the eight teams that lose in the qualifying round. Those 15 teams, they are going to have the shots at getting one of the top three picks. So phase one is going to be held on June 26th. The seven teams not playing, and then place cards are going to be given to the eight teams that are in the qualifying round. Of course, at that point, we won't know if they won or lost. The seven teams not returning will have the same odds that they had at the time of the pause. And then if the top three slots are won by any of those seven teams, there won't be a phase two. So if the top three are taken from those seven teams that aren't playing in the qualifying round, there will be no phase two. And beyond those top three, everything will go in order of your win percentage at the time of the pause. Now, here's where things get a little interesting. If any of the eight teams that lose in that qualifying round get one of those top three picks, phase two will take place after the qualifying round is over. And those teams, in essence, will have a 1 in 8 chance of getting that top three pick. Capiche?
Now, if they're tied after all of that, there'll be sack races held on consecutive Sundays by the main media person for that team against the qualifying GM from the second place team on the third Sunday of the previous month.
Yes, they're still going over that part of the
little
plan.
Thing in there. Yeah.
So Charlie, the Blackhawks can only get a top three pick if they lose in the qualifying round versus Edmonton.
Correct. And obviously, if they beat Edmonton, then that really eliminates them from having a top 15 pick. So it really is a kind of a drastic change, because when we were talking about the potential NHL draft in early June, there was some hope that it was like, if the Blackhawks can make this 2014 playoff, but also secure their draft spot or their high draft spot before they could potentially ruin it in that 2014 format. Obviously that would have been more nicer for Chicago, but this definitely makes more sense and is definitely more fair across the NHL.
Scott, your thoughts on the draft process?
No, just after hearing you repeat it again, I feel like I have to get another degree to understand it. It's, I would just point to, I'll let that sit there. What I thought of was, if they have an opportunity here, it's, we're excited that technically it's not the playoffs, but they're in the play-in here. They get in and yeah, it's exciting to see Kane play Connor McDavid, but if they lose, I mean, they went from 12-3 last year. What if it's going to be 3 years in a row where they get a top 10 pick? That would be crazy. What if you see them grab that three and they lose? Like it was almost that crazy last year. Like, when have you ever seen Stan Bowman smile like that when he's on TV and they get that lottery pick? So that would be insane. I mean, I think you kind of like Charlie was saying, I think you hate to see them win and then just kind of peter out and not get a decent pick at all. So, I don't know. It kind of set up some interesting things for the Hawks here to happen, not just with playing the Oilers, but possibly getting another top 10 pick.
I much rather prefer talking about chances of advancing over Edmonton than moving up in the draft lottery. I think we'll all agree we'll take that risk reward there. Finally, as we kind of wrap this thing up, and we're going to get more into the Oilers matchup. We got plenty of time to delve into that. But I just want to get initial thoughts on where this Blackhawks team may be when they resume. Nick, you've talked to, some of your friends around the league that are playing with other teams. We've talked about it on podcasts that usually I'd be worried about the veterans because, maybe their bodies take a little extra time. I kind of see it differently. I think the guys that are established in the National Hockey League who might have an infrastructure at their home, a great home gym, a setup where they've got the trainer that they know and they can work out with, and they've got the money and the means to do it, they might be in a little bit better shape than the younger guys in the league who, might have a roommate, might not have the in-home gym. How do you see it?
Yeah, I see it exactly like that too, Pat. I completely agree with you. I think especially now after things were announced obviously today, but I think these teams had a pretty good idea that the 24th thing was going to happen for a couple of weeks now. So I know guys have been working out pretty heavily, and I know that the established guys in the league have been taking it very seriously and very little break was taken. So I would agree with you. I think that the young guys are going to be able to bounce back quickly, and they've got that youth and they've got that exuberance and they've got that, they're going to have that adrenaline going because it's going to be some of their first taste of the playoffs. But you're going to have those veteran guys who are going to come in as the wily vets, and they're going to be ready mentally to go, but physically they will have had a little bit of an advantage. I would also venture to guess that some of these guys have been skating, and if they haven't been on ice, they've definitely been on wheels. That's been a big prominent thing that's happened in the off season. I think like the stock of Mars blades has gone through the roof. So guys have been training, guys have been working out. I really truthfully don't think that there's going to be much lag. I think the biggest lag will be not having been all together. So whenever they end up getting back together as a team and not in just groups of six, that will be interesting to me to see which team gels quickly, because that's going to be a major factor. I think you're going to see which organizations of those 24 teams have good locker rooms. And I think that's going to be a major determining factor into how long you go in the playoffs. It won't be based on skill alone. It's going to be based on the bond in that room.
In the race, Charlie and Scott, who can get their number one goalie up to speed the quickest?
That's exactly it, Pat. And we see it earlier in the year. Every October, goal scoring is up. And it's because goaltenders are still trying to figure out, or they're still trying to get into that rhythm, not only of getting consecutive starts, but seeing the puck and seeing different angles. And so if the Blackhawks, obviously Corey Crawford, two-time Stanley Cup champion, if he can get back to that elite level or as quick to that elite level as possible. And you could say that, I know you can really say that about any playoff series, like whichever goaltender is hot, that's probably going to be the team that wins. But now more than ever, I mean, five game series that could potentially be in the first and second round as well. is going to hold a lot of weight if your goaltender gets hot.
Yeah, I think it's going to be hard for any goalie to replicate, you know, how they used to play or a playoff type situation, because they haven't been doing anything even close to that. But this is where a goalie like Corey Crawford, is where their experience comes in handy. A lot of big games, a lot of big series in his career, delivered time after time. So you can bet your money that he's finding a way to somehow prepare himself, whether it's at home, somewhere he's been able to see pucks. He should bounce back pretty quick, I think, and get himself in a groove, just because he's been in so many big situations before.
You know, and I tend to go back to my original thought of I trust the veterans, I think, more than I do the guys who haven't been there before. I think, you know, Johnny and Patrick and Duncan and Corey, they all know what it takes. Now, this is unusual circumstances, obviously, having a, you know, a 3-month layoff. But I'm more concerned or really curious about how DeBrincat and Strom and Kubalik are going to handle their first taste of this level of hockey.
Yeah, no question. And I know it won't be the same type of intensity because there aren't going to be fans in the stands, but it's going to be nice to let these players play in meaningful games and have this high intensity hockey where every play really counts. Every shift is going to count. So, and it'll be cool because the deeper that the Blackhawks can potentially go, the more it is going to help them, those younger players get that experience. So that's certainly another part of the equation.
Have you guys seen Kampf on Instagram? Like, his workouts are insane. Like, that
guy's always been,
he's just crushing it. Like, I watched that guy and I'm like, I probably should go do something and get off that
place. Hey, I do want to add something. We're taping this, and Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet just tweeted that there will be two exhibition games per team. So that's another wrinkle. You know, it's not just going to go straight into the 5-game playoff series, and then 28 skaters and as many goalies as you wish to carry. So obviously we heard that there were going to be expanded rosters given the, you know, health concerns or whatever, but this is the two exhibition games is obviously going to help the rest of the league, because you don't want to jump right into those playoffs.
And Charlie, Ian Mitchell, guys like that won't be eligible to be on that expanded roster, right?
Correct. Unless they resolve something with the NHLPA that allows them to. But as of right now, those contracts will start next season.
All right. Well, we'll get to roster makeup and how many goalies and which goalies, you know. I mean, it's good to be talking about hockey and not talking about pandemic stuff and what are you binge watching. So
I miss you guys. I cannot wait to see y'all in person.
All right, Gizmo, looking good. You got the haircut, I noticed.
Yeah, I got the haircut. I'm in Colorado, so you know, the we've been lucky here that the restrictions have lifted a little bit and the numbers have gone down. So it's I got it trimmed up. It was getting unwieldy. I wasn't allowed to go on TV anymore without a hat on. So
and you got the apparently sleeves are optional in Colorado.
No, yeah, we don't wear it. You're lucky I'm wearing a shirt right now.
Wow. Well, no, yeah, I am lucky. You're wearing a
shirt. Yes. You gonna work on that playoff?
I'm on the camp fitness. No, mustache is gone. This is just this is the shadow, baby. This is the Italian shadow that just comes in.
Yeah. All right, well, that's going to wrap up, you know, the Nick Gizmondi, who wore it best segment of the show. We are fired up. We're talking about a 24-team tournament, and your Chicago Blackhawks are in it. For Scott King, Charlie Romeliotis, Nick Gizmondi, for the czar of the podcast situation at NBC Sports Chicago, Tony Gill, and for our fearless leader in the Blackhawks content, Slavko Bekovic. I'm Pat Boyle. We'll catch you next time on the Blackhawks Talk Podcast.
This is Mike Tirico introducing you to Sports Uncovered.
When I lose the sense of motivation and the sense of to prove something as a basketball player, it's time for me to move away from the game of basketball.
Quote unquote, I'm back.
I'm back. The two-word facts from Michael Jordan announcing the most famous comeback in NBA history.
That's the most impactful two words ever.
Subscribe to Sports Uncovered right now to get the Michael Jordan episode automatically downloaded on May 28th.